And I've gone on record as saying this a few times, and I know some people have kind of raised their eyebrows about it, Chez, but the defending Grey Cup champions got better. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Waggle. The 2018 CFL season is finally here. He's Davis Sanchez. I'm James Cebulski. Chez Balls. And remember, as always, the Waggle is brought to you by Sport Clips. And Sport Clips right now is running a Father's Day promotion from now until Father's Day, June 17th. And what a great way to celebrate Father's Day by sending you to watch a CFL game of your choice this season, plus customized Davis Sanchez jerseys for both you and your dad. It's actually customized to whatever you want it to be. It doesn't have to be Davis Sanchez once. Right, Chezzy?
Yeah, hopefully not Davis Sanchez jerseys. You can enter this contest. Just go to sportclips.ca/fathers-day. This one always throws me off. But it's sportclips.ca/fathers-day. But yeah, that's how you enter the contest. Check it out. Our friends at Sport Clips giving that gift away for fans to take their father to a game, enjoy a contest, and it's here, buddy. Week one has arrived, and here it is. We said it last year. I'm gonna say it again. There's not a guy or a team in this league that does not think they have a shot today. They all think they have a shot. I've said before, I've been on some good teams. I've been on some bad teams. And even the bad teams, everybody thinks they're good right now. And not just because they want to be optimistic, but guys think they're good because in camp, there's a lot of darn good players. You're not playing against anybody else in camp. So you just look at your squad and all the athletes on your squad and you say, no, you know what? We're going to be pretty good. And then, halfway through the first quarter of the first game or at halftime, you sit in the locker room, look around, and you say, you know what? We're not that damn good. But so this is, as of right now, everyone thinks they're good. And you know, if you get on a roll, regardless of what team you're on, wherever you're sitting right now, you get on a roll and start the season off and get some confidence. And teams that some of us might not think are that good, they can start off hot, build some confidence, and who knows where that takes them. That's real life stuff, though. It's an interesting dynamic, but it's real.
That's one of those ones that when you have that optimism, and it's, I think, even as an armchair quarterback, and we got a lot of our colleagues and media that listen, and if you're a fan, even if you're the biggest diehard, you look at your team sometimes and you say, well, if we get a little bit of this, and hey, if so-and-so bounces back, and if so-and-so plays to their potential, hey, you know what, like, there's sometimes some teams need a little more ifs and buts than others. But in this particular, yeah, everybody has hope, right? You got a clean slate. Everybody's 0-0. Everybody's got the same record to start with. Just one team winds up being the Golden State Warriors, and somebody winds up getting the participation ribbon along the way, which was generally what I got. You ready to dive into this here? You ready to play or what?
Let's do it, bud. Let's talk about, let's dive into those guys who got snapped this week, and we'll do it Don Matthews style. There's some guys that are good football players, but they're not going to be there to start the season off. You know why, James?
Why?
Because they're DOD. As the late, great Don Matthews say, they're dinner on Delta. They're on the plane having dinner on Delta Airlines. Canadians, they go east and west. Americans, they go north and south, but they're DOD. And there's some good players this week who are unfortunately not going to be with teams. Some will get picked up and some will not.
Did you find in a case like this, and before we dive into some of these names, you mentioned it was one of Don Matthews' kind of old MOs, and Wally Buono was kind of known to be that guy as well, where, Wally's reputation and his old saying was always, I'd rather cut a guy too soon than cut a guy too late.
Right.
Where it was almost, you send a high-profile name packing. Did you find that was pretty commonplace amongst coaches, almost every year when you'd get to camp? Did you find that?
What was commonplace?
Well, just you know, cut a vet just for the sake of it. Maybe they didn't even deserve it. Maybe they had played well enough, but it was just cut a vet just to make people feel uncomfortable.
No, I don't think so. I do think that we can start in Saskatchewan because Chris Jones said something that it's true, and guys, it's real life football, and one of the things that evaluators and teams have to deal with on a yearly basis, on a weekly basis, and that is, you know, a vet guy that's been there 2-3 years. If you're even with a younger guy in camp as you go through the battle, you can't. Chris Jones said you can't be even. You gotta be obviously better than the guy that's coming in. For a couple of reasons. One, your salary is probably going to be higher, and now you have to, you know, you're always going to take the cheaper player if possible. And the other reason is that if you're 3 years into the game and a rookie or a guy that's been there for a year is already at the same level as you, then that tells me that this kid probably has more potential and is going to be a better player in a couple of years, you'd hope. So for those two reasons, guys can't be even, and I think that's what he explained when he cut Travis Bond. That's the first name that jumped out at me is a guy who was a free agent signing coming over from Winnipeg, a big, balling offensive guard, an import guard who was a big part of that rush game that Winnipeg has and the most physical offensive line in the league Winnipeg had last year. And we thought that was a big move, Sask getting Travis Bond. It was going to really help their offensive line. Next thing you know, he gets cut. That's just a surprise. A guy that gets signed out of the free agent pool getting cut, camp doesn't usually happen. That was a big one and surprise for me.
Yeah, he's having dinner on Delta, right?
D-O-D.
Rob Bagg, 10 seasons with the Riders and gone. You know, Chad Owens, the guy who's a former MOP. You know, Bakari Grant, 1,000 yards receiving. I mean, you know, Bagg I could see. You know, Owens, you could see just based on health for Owens. Bagg's production had dropped off significantly, but Bakari Grant, he had 1,000 yards last year. Like, you know, not everybody has 1,000 yards as a receiver across the CFL. You know, it's kind of somewhat rare air, if you will. But Chris Jones, you know, but this also speaks to the depth that this team has now, right? And just where this team's at. And when you start looking at the receiving core right out of the get-go, boy, it's Carter and Roosevelt, which is just a devastating 1-2 punch that, you know, Zach Caleros
Caleb
has.
Caleb Hawley, make that three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caleb Hawley there as well. I'm going to go 1-2-3. And Derek Rogers.
You look at Winnipeg, a huge notable cut as well. And that's last year's first overall pick. Faith Akokiti gets cut. Wow. This is one that raises a lot of eyebrows because, and look, this is one of those things, Chez, I want to hear your perspective first and then I'll chime in with mine. But, what was your thoughts here on Akokiti?
Yeah. Well, the big thing for me was I looked right away at Kyle Walters. That was the big thing I saw. As a GM, I like Kyle Walters a lot as a GM. I think Kyle Walters is a very good GM. And after he released Faith Akokiti, I think he's a great GM. And the reason why is, as a general manager, you cut a guy after you draft him number one overall, you cut him a year later, that's egg on your face, Cebulski. Like, as you say, that's egg on his face. But he was willing to take that and not worry about how it looks on him and do what's best for the team. That I've already liked Kyle Walters and what he does. I like him more after that. That shows me a lot about Kyle Walters and his willingness to do what's best for the team and not be so concerned with himself and how people are going to take that.
You know, and that's a really outside the box way of looking at it, where you give a guy credit for recognizing a mistake and saying, okay, you know what, we're moving on. We're not going to keep trying to reshape this and treat this as like plasticine or play clay or Play-Doh, however you want to just try to keep molding it into something that maybe it'll ultimately fit for us. But for where I look at this, this is just a total fail for the Bombers, and this ultimately falls on Kyle Walters because, you know, he's the guy, he's the GM. But when you have the first overall selection, you have the first pick, the pick of the letter. You know what I mean? It's like going to the dessert buffet menu and saying, you can have whatever you want. and you pick up the rotten apple, so to speak, or the spoiled lemon, the strawberry with some mold, and nobody's reaching for fruit first anyway. I mean, we're all reaching for the real sugar with brownies and chocolate sauce and whipped cream and all that good stuff. At least I am. But the point being is, the Bombers had the pick of the litter in 2017. And you might say, well, you know what? 2017 wasn't a great draft class to begin with. The fact is, they had the first pick and they completely whiffed on this. That's this
you're
at
right,
a time
Bob,
where
right.
You often hear the best teams generally boast the best Canadian talent. That's a miss. And right now it doesn't seem to be punishing the Bombers, but you do wonder if somewhere down the road that comes back to haunt them when you have that sort of pick.
You're right. It happens, though. In the CFL in particular, it happens not quite a bit, but it happens. And you're right. It's you can't let it happen consistently. If you get picks like that and you blow, you expect those guys to be franchise guys. I'm with you, buddy.
Yeah. It's now, if anybody who's finding consolation out of this, Jim Barker might really appreciate this, right? I mean, look at suddenly this Drew Willie trade that was made a year and a half ago with the Argos. You know, the Argos now get TJ Heath back. You know, the first round pick that they gave up winds up being a strikeout. It's like, you know, Jim Barker's like, whew, see, that trade wasn't so bad.
Wow.
Wasn't so bad after all, Chezzy.
Wow. That's where you're going. That's where you're going to go with all after you get here. That's where you're going.
Silver linings, my friend. Silver linings. They're better than participation badges after all, right? Silver is better than bronze, too, for that matter.
That's fair enough also. That's legit. Anthony
Parker surprised?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when I look at – he's a surprise because we know that he's a Canadian and you know what he does. Anthony Parker's a guy who's consistent and a good receiver and been a good receiver for the Stamps for a long time. But then again, when you look at the roster and what, you know, all they have there with Rodgers coming back, Marky Michelle, Mar Jordan, Tavares Daniels, and Lamar Durant is – you know, I think if he comes back healthy, he's on target to be one of the best Canadian receivers in the league now, and he was last year when he was healthy. So for me, you look at that, and then you say, you know what, I understand it, but that's just because they're loaded. It's not Anthony Parker can play. I bet he's fielding a couple offers right now. I believe that he's a guy that somebody will pick up. He runs good routes there in the slot. He's tough. He's a good player. He can play out wide at Z for you. He can run out the slot. He can do a lot of different things. I think somebody will be able to use Anthony Parker.
The notable cut, I think, that really kind of jumped out for me was the cut that wasn't. And that was the Montreal Alouettes who, you look for a win. You look to want to pump their tires. And I say this because my partner in crime here since day one of the Waggle, my buddy, my four-time CFL All-Star, my three-time Grey Cup champion co-host, Davis Sanchez. He is defined in the CFL for a lot of people, the vast majority of people, as a Montreal Alouette. We would love to pump their tires. Davis would love to pump their tires probably more than anybody if he was given the opportunity. Anybody who's lined up against Davis knows the man likes to talk. And he cannot talk and pump the tires of the Alouettes the last few years because they did not give him the opportunity. Because of moments like what happened a few days ago where the Alouettes announced that they had cut Xavier Fulton. Well, it certainly raised a lot of eyebrows because Xavier Fulton was expected to be the guy who's going to start at left tackle for them for 2018. And even more so because they had cut Javon Olafoye right at the beginning of camp. So this comes out, and then quickly it's the backtrack, the old backpedal. Chez, you used to be great on the backpedal just in your coverage and all that, and I say this in an endearing way. But all of a sudden, here on the backpedal comes a release from the Owls saying, our bad. No, nothing to see here. This isn't a typo. Like, there's nobody on the roster named Mavier Zoltan. You know, it's nothing along those ways.
I'd like to say ish happens. I just don't know how it happens in that situation. I don't know if maybe if you're right, though, there's no Xavier Holden or something. But it's like to say ish happens, but I don't know how that happened unless somehow they discussed releasing him and then changed their mind. I don't really know, but mistakes happen. And speaking of mistakes, Derek Rogers, the name I mentioned with the Riders, The receiver they did like, they actually have released him. He's not on the roster. I know that that was someone body type situation they liked. I thought he would be there. Devon Bailey is a guy who they loved out there with just what he does. They re-signed him. He's a good Canadian player who will take back spot. And then Shaquille Evans is the other guy, import guy they kept. So just to clarify that, we talked about that a bit earlier. But the Montreal stuff, James, we got to talk about it. I don't want to continue to bang on my team. I got a lot of love for the organization and the people. They're going to turn things around. It's going to get better because it can't get worse. It's going to get better. But we have to talk about it. Why, James?
Because we keep it right around the robust number of
97. We keep it 97 on the wagon. We keep it 97 because we keep it 100, but we like our jobs. So we keep it 97 in this piece. 97.
That's it.
90. We don't want to go overboard and lose our job, so we'll keep it 97.
Yes. And that always leaves a room for improvement just in case we need to turn it up a notch too. So here we go. Listen, we can kind of roll through this, but here we go. Week one is now upon us in the Canadian Football League, and it all starts on Thursday night with the Thursday Night Football. And they got that catchy new song now. I'm not the biggest country guy, and I like folk country from back in the day. Not that everybody needs to know all my musicals, my preferences and all that, but. You know, my girlfriend's a big country music fan, and I kind of take it all with a grain of salt. But that is a catchy song, Chez. I didn't want to admit it, but I'm like, it's kind of grown on me. It's going to be a good one, I think, as the season grows.
Everybody says the same thing. This is not a tire pump for the Rec Laws. This is not a promo ad from me. It's factual. Everyone I talk to says the same thing. I didn't know it, and all of a sudden I played a song and. This is catchy. It is catchy, and I'm not a country guy, but it's a catchy tune, I find myself I haven't been singing in the shower yet, but every time I hear it, I get more and more. I probably will end up start singing after a while. And your girlfriend likes country. That's I like that, C-Ball. I also like your girlfriend.
Well, what do you mean by that?
I don't know. She's just cool. I like her. I like her more than I like
you. You know what? Stick to your peanut butter sandwiches, Chez. You know what? Stick to your peanut butter. Okay.
PB&J. I would love to have a picnic in PB&J with your girlfriend, James, this summer sometime.
Oh, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Okay. So here we go. There's just a lot. The people you guys are shaking your heads wondering what we're talking about right now. Don't worry about it. All right. Edmonton, Winnipeg kick off the 2018 season. Chez, I really like as Edmonton kind of slides into week one here. This is a team that, they lost. I didn't like them losing Joel Figueroa. Obviously losing a guy like Odell Willis. They cut a Darius Bowman. You lose some key veterans and all that. But at the same time, this team's kind of stayed the course. They still have some playmakers. You lost Brandon Zylstra as well, but they still have playmakers on this team. You got a season of CJ Gable. And then defensively, what they've kind of done in terms of keeping some stuff in-house, the guys like Adam Konar and that, a healthy JC Sherritt. I like where this team's trending going into week number one and going into this season, especially when you've got the top of the food chain, Mike Riley, still at the helm.
Yeah, interesting for me is the right tackle position. The guy Tommy Draham is going to start at right tackle. That's new. They're going to move. They lost Figueroa. They moved Colin Kelly over there to left tackle. Colin Kelly's a great athlete. He'll be fine over there. But we'll see how Tommy Draham does a right tackle. Obviously, protecting Mike Riley is of utmost importance. And then, I look for to step up is Vidal Hazelton. I've always thought he's a tremendous talent. Let's see what Hazelton does at the wideout spot. Departure of Zylstra, I think. Obviously, Darrell Walker's got a number four on my top wide receivers list this season. Darrell Walker, or wait, was he five? He's number five on my top five receivers list. Vidal Hazelton, I expect him to step up. And also, let's see what Nate Behar does. Let's see if he can have an impact this year after being – coming in late, kind of derailing. That really derailed his rookie season, but I think he's someone that they have expectations for.
Yeah, and that was a guy who kind of got off to a bit of a slow start with some of the contractual stuff last year, but I was a big fan of him going into 2017.
James, are they the best team in the East right now? In the West, are they the best team? I mean, you look at Calgary, you look at Sask. Is Are the Edmonton Eskimos the best all around team just because of Mike Riley and what they return?
Yeah, I think Edmonton rises to the top on this for a few different reasons. Calgary has, and Calgary's taken a lot of hits in terms of the leadership and quality players that they've taken. I know a lot of people still love the Stamps, and maybe they proved me wrong on this again, but I think to lose a lot of guys like they have, we'll get into this in a few minutes, but the losses there, I think, is going to take an adjustment for Calgary. I think with all the new players coming into the mix, especially at key leadership positions, it's going to take a little bit for Sasky to really try to gel as a unit as well. Winnipeg, obviously, hey, look, no Matt Nichols right now to start the season for maybe the first third of the year. That's a huge hit that they're going to have to adjust to. And then the Lions, we really don't know what to get from the Lions. The Lions could shock a lot of people.
No clue. I have no idea. We'll talk about them and if we break down that game. But that's the one team I have no clue about. But I think this Edmonton defense is going to be pretty good. They got a pretty good front four.
That's a good secondary too.
Yeah, their secondaries. There's two pieces, I think. Let's see what they'll do with the boundary halfback this week, because Aaron Grimes has some family issues he's dealing with, so he won't be in the lineup this week. That's a big miss at the boundary halfback spot. So we'll see if it's Chris Edwards that fills in for him. He's a good athlete. We'll see what he does. But Benny over there at Edmonton always finds a way. One of the best coordinators for a long time to do it, and he'll find a way to put that champagne on his shoulder.
Well, look at how this team took look at the hits that they took last year and the struggles that they had at a certain point, and yet in the same vein they were still right there with the Stamps late in that West Final, right? They were right there, right, scrapping away. So, all right. Conversely, we look at Winnipeg going up in that Week One matchup, and it begins and ends, I think, to start where this team's at with quarterback and with Matt Nichols down for the next 4 to 6 weeks. This isn't something they're going to try to rush back at this time of the year, especially with a guy who's got a history of injury problems. He was nicked up to end 2017, and it probably had an impact in that playoff matchup against Edmonton. So here we go again. Chris Streveler is stepping in as a rookie, and the first real rookie to step in as a starter. So you got to go back to the Las Vegas Posse. Never mind the expansion Golden Knights, Chez. The Las Vegas Posse. First time since 1994. And you know who that starting quarterback was back then?
Anthony Calvillo.
You got it, man. Your old quarterback, your old teammate, AC. So you go back almost a quarter of a century for this to last happen. But a guy who didn't necessarily set the world on fire. And I think for a lot of fans, if you were watching the national broadcast last week, I liked Alex Ross and what he was doing more than what Streveler did, but this kind of speaks a little more in terms of the body of work that he did over the last month, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, word out of Winnipeg was that Streveler was pretty good during training camp. I wasn't overly impressed in that preseason game. Actually, that's an overstatement. One or the other. I wasn't impressed in the preseason game in that second game, but his body of work, like you said, James, during camp, the guys – I know the guys felt like he was a good player. He's also extremely fast. He's a pretty good athlete, maybe the fastest quarterback in the league, straight up speed wise. So that's an option too. Remember, Paul LaPolice had Dan Lefebvre last year, and so he'll know what to do with him and in regards to trying to use that athletic ability. And I think, you know, when you need to manufacture first downs, which is kind of what Winnipeg is going to need to do a little bit, you have Andrew Harris, be a running quarterback that gives you some options with the RPO, the run pass option game, and some, maybe some speed option just to get him in the game and get, you know, get Chris Streveler feeling comfortable. I think they'll use his legs a bit, kind of use that model a bit more and try to slow the game down. And this defense has got to be, you know, I think they were last in the league. I think they gave the most yards in the league last year, or most points per game. Up here, but yeah, their defensive stats were terrible last year. Actually, they were the second most. Montreal gave up the most yards per game. Winnipeg gave up the second most yards per game. So That's not good enough if you want to win the West.
I'm really intrigued as to what the Bombers can offer in terms of some of the veteran additions. You know, I think a lot of people gave a thumbs up to Adarius Bowman, who we had just talked to on the show recently, and man,
I love hearing that guy's energy.
He was great. Yeah. And just, you know, what he does off the field, what he does on the field. And, you know, that's a guy you want to root for to see a bounce back season after the numbers took a big hit last year. But with Adarius Bowman from an offensive standpoint, and then defensively, you know, they pick up Adam Big Hill, who finds his way back to the CFL after being cut from the New Orleans Saints, and rather than going to BC, ultimately winds up with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But you throw that guy into the mix with what is a strong front four, and that secondary, Chez, and I know you like to pump tires on DBs, but Randall, Gator, Loeffler, Fogg, you know, there's a guy there, and a guy like Fogg kind of got lost into the mix last year with, you know, some of the depth that kind of allowed him to just be more of a run.
From BC, Chandler Fenner will be playing that Sam linebacker, which we know is just another linebacker dressed up as a linebacker playing DB. So Chandler Fenner's a big addition for them. He's as big of an addition as Big Hill is almost. That's another position where they upgraded. Once they get Bo Leggett back in a few weeks, I think they'll really be loaded back there.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to like, and this is where, look, from an offensive standpoint, you've got, hey, when you look at Andrew Harris and what he can do as a running back, and here is a guy who, you know, he can give you 1,000 yards receiving, he can give you 1,000 yards running, whether he can sustain that again this season, a year older. But guess what? They might have to lean a little heavily on him to start the year, and that's a nice luxury when you have the best back in the CFL right now kicking things off, at least based on the numbers from last year. It looks like there's a young breed of running backs that are ready to explode onto the scene that really try to take that title away, whether it's James Wilder or whether it's Willie Powell, how that all kind of plays out. But there's a lot of depth, and this depth and this talent pool that the Bombers have assembled, it's going to be put to the test, because right now their most vulnerable position is the most important position, and that's quarterback with a rookie that's going to get thrown into the fire early. But, you know, this team, if they can try to weather the storm, I'm not sure what a best case scenario is. 500 a best case scenario for them? Well, it's, Nichols, I feel like that would be
games,
a win for the team, wouldn't it?
They have the easiest schedule of the first six games of the season. They're fortunate in that. They play in a tough Western division, but they have the easiest schedule in the first six games of any team in the league. They play four of the six games are against teams losing records last year, so that they think they're in a good position there. I think it's just BC out of the West, which, see, you know, we know about BC last year, but I think it's BC twice, Edmonton, BC twice, and then it's three Eastern teams. So I think they're in a decent spot, but I believe, yeah, I'm with you. If they went 500, I think they'd have to feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, they go Edmonton, Montreal, Hamilton back to back on the road after this week one, and then it's the home and home series against the Lions. But again, it's like, I don't know what, you know, it's like playing Yahtzee with the Lions, you know, in terms
Let's
of trying to there. Figuring out what you're going to get.
Let's
but,
go there.
But there is talent. Yeah, well, okay, so why don't we go to the Friday matchup, okay, before we get to the doubleheader on Saturday. Well, let's go to the defending Grey Cup champions going up against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders on the Friday. Let's start with Sasky here first, because the Riders
That's
did,
the game of the week, by the way. No doubt about it.
Yeah,
that's
no
the game.
Question.
It was this game until the quarterback injury. This would have been, you know, toss-up between those two games for the game of the week. Looking forward to it. I think the Strebler injury is taking a little bit of luster off that one, but this is the game of the week. Saskatchewan and Toronto. Toronto at Sask, I think, is the game of the week for me.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll start with Sask. I mean, the two biggest offseason acquisitions, or at least the biggest offseason acquisition, comes for Saskatchewan, and that's Zach Collaros at quarterback, right? Can he be the guy that we remember from a couple of years ago? Can he be that guy? Can he, A, play, stay healthy, and B, can he find that groove that saw him as, you know, being a guy that was an MOP candidate in 2015 before going down with an injury? And it just hasn't clicked here for the better part of the last year and a half for Collaros, and it ultimately cost him his job in Hamilton. But if he's back, and, you know, there's a lot of weapons to use from. You know, you've got an aging Jerome Messam in your backfield, but then you've got an in-your-prime Daron Carter. You got an in-your-prime Naaman Roosevelt. And then defensively, you added Charleston Hughes to play alongside Willie Jefferson. There's a lot to like. Now it just needs to come together. That's the thing.
Yeah, and I think Zach has got to, I don't think, I know Zach's got to use his legs. I mean, that's Zach is in the last 2 years, he hasn't been running the ball at all. And that was when he was younger, his first couple of years, he was a mobile guy. That's one of the things that made Zach great, was that he could extend plays and make plays outside the pocket. We haven't seen that. Now, I don't know if, you know, and there has been whispers that there's been a reluctancy to do so. I don't know. I'm not sure if that's the case, but if we'll see, and it's something that we'll watch to see if he's willing to do. Because if I think for Zach to be successful, he's got to be a dual threat. And, you know, also, Big Ben is out for the first two games. I think he has a two-game suspension. Once he gets back to, he was dynamic back there. He's kind of like a running back, but really a wide receiver, kick returner kind of guy who really, when he returned from the NFL, was a spark plug for them. So they'll miss him the first few games, kind of a double-headed monster with him and Jerome in the ratio and how that works. But they get him back as well. I think that's a big addition for those guys to get him, Big Ben, back involved in the mix.
And then conversely, the Argos, and I've gone on record as saying this a few times, and I know some people have kind of raised their eyebrows about it, Chez, but the defending Grey Cup champions got better.
There is no repeat. There are no defending Grey Cup champions. There are no defending Grey Cup champions. Do you not listen to Mark Trestman? This is a new team. If there's one new player, it's a new team. So they're not the champions anymore. Just ask Coach Trestman.
Well, history is going to tell me when I look at a record book that who won in 2017. He could try to motivate his team, whatever, and try to say what he is, but he is not changing. He's not changing my scripts now on this episode. Coach Trestman.
Not Jedi mind tricking you, huh, C-Ball?
I ain't playing that. Maybe you're drinking the Kool-Aid because you got championships with him. So, but yeah, I ain't won nothing with him. So, but I look at what the Argos did, and you know, it's amazing to think, you know, he's got a great reputation when he left the CFL, when he came back to the CFL, and
thanks Jay Cutler, your coach killer. That guy's a coach killer. I don't care
what. You remember we talked to Trestman last year. He liked.
Yeah, of course he did.
He liked smoking Jay. Because
Coach Trestman's a classy guy. He's not going to talk bad about anybody.
But look at what they did. I just want to give some credit here to what Jim Popp has done, because Jim Popp took a real nasty hit for his reputation by the time he left Montreal. But look what he did in less than a year to kind of build a Grey Cup champion with the Argos last season. And you look at this team here. They've gotten deeper at the quarterback position with Ricky Ray and James Franklin waiting in the wings. You look at what they've got. They've patched things up. They were able to sort things out with James Wilder and the offseason drama they had. And then defensively, you look at, hey, you lost a couple of key guys, but then you were able to patch those holes. You bring in TJ Heath to help augment your secondary. And not only that, this week, Chez, they make a trade to bring in Abdul Kinney, who, you know, we had this conversation a year ago, whether he's still in that discussion, but going into 2017, I think you even had him pegged as one of the top cover guys and one of the top corners in the Canadian Football League. It looked like it's a salary cap move that the Ticats are willing to cut bait on, and they make a move for him for an eighth round pick. But this feels like a win for the Argos. I still think that Abdul Kinney's got a lot of football left in the tank, and he bolsters a team that was a pretty good defensive squad last year. And this is a team this is the cream of the East for me, the Argos.
Yeah, they have done a tremendous job in just a year's time, Jim Popp and the organization. And give credit to Spencer Zimmerman, too, because he was kind of holding the fort down, during that transition. And he's done a great job along with Jim Popp and Coach Trestman and getting the Argos back. And I will, you know, I think I ranked the Argos as my number five team early in the offseason. I look at it now. I got them up top three now. So it is – My thoughts have changed when I look at this roster now, and I think Abdul Kinney is a big part of that. He's a playmaker. If he can stay healthy, he just plays recklessly. He's a guy who plays. He likes to be in the box, likes to get involved, blitzes. He comes downhill, and he's about 160. So he's got to take care of his body and be smart I know you want to play physical, but you got to be smart. And that's the reason why, you know, one of the reasons why Hamilton can't keep, you're not going to be healthy and you're making what Abdul Kinney's making. It's not going to work. I mean, he's a eighth round pick. I don't even know if there is an eighth round. I think they might have, I think the Ticats might have duped the Argos. I don't even know if there are eight rounds in the draft. It's probably not even a pick. I'm not sure there is eight rounds. If I was looking for a co-host, a new co-host for this show, I'd probably trade you for an eighth round pick. So that's what I think about eighth round picks. It's about what you're worth, Sapolsky.
Not buying it. Not buying the eighth rounder. No, yes,
that's a giveaway.
I've got some magic beans.
I think in hockey terms they call that a bag of pucks.
Bag of pucks, yes, exactly. What would that be? What would that be? Trainer's tape? Trainer's tape
CFL,
in football?
Yeah, I don't know what they. Yeah, maybe spat tape. Maybe a couple rolls of spat tape.
I'll give
us Abdul Kinne, one of the best halfbacks in the league, and I'm gonna give you three rolls of black spat tape and two white.
I got some. I'll give you one roll of yellow too. It's a nicely colored. Coordinated for Hamilton there, so some yellow spat tape. Yeah. So you pay a premium for the colored tape, right? So that's high end stuff. On that note, let's move to the doubleheaders on Saturday, June 16th, and we've got Hamilton, Calgary. Okay, tell me this, because I look at where the Stamps are at, and I keep reading and seeing how everybody loves what the Calgary Stampeders have done. Everybody's raving about them.
You're not drinking the Kool-Aid. You have not been drinking the Calgary Kool-Aid at all this year, have you?
But here's where I'm coming from. You know, you cut bait on Messam. You cut bait on Hughes. You cut bait on, you know, Cote retired. You know, Laverty retired. Fedorkov's retired. You know, Tommy Campbell's gone. Josh Bell's voice in the room is gone.
Khalil Carter retired.
Khalil Carter, yeah. So he did something anyway. And you know, even Anthony Parker now out of the mix here. But it's hard for me to fathom. And you know what? On a completely different layer, Roy Finch is out of the mix as well. But it's hard for me to fathom when you take that many bodies that had such a voice within that room from a team that's been to two straight Grey Cups and probably lost both in the most heartbreaking fashion, how this team could actually be better. I'm not necessarily buying that. That's where I'm taking issue with.
I think they're better. I think they're younger. They're faster. They're better. I mean, up front, we'll see what happens with their offensive line. I'm not quite sure how that's going to play out. But
yeah,
that's obviously important. I think out skill wise, receiver wise, they're better. And I'm as big of a fan of Markway McDaniel as anybody. I think Markway McDaniel is a baller. But when you add, you know, you have room. You can do it with your ratio and have, you know, Boris Daniels, Jordan, Marky Michelle, and now adding Eric Rogers to the mix along with Breskinson or Durant when he's healthy. That's weapons. Those are better weapons. You know why? Because Daniels a year older, Jordan's a year older, Marky Michelle's now a couple years in the league, and I mean these guys are weapons. Now they're coming into their prime. That's why they're better to me. Take out McDaniel and Parker and add in those young guys. They're talented, and it might take time to get back to the levels, you know, that Markway had relationship wise with Bo. But that's talent. And Terry Williams out the backfield. I don't think not many people know a lot about Terry Williams. He is dynamic. Watch, that's an upgrade too. And Jerome is a heck of a player, but. At his age, and he's not gonna bring the home run threat that Terry Williams brings. Terry Williams, he can play. He's shifty. He's quick. He can take it to the house. Terry Williams, watch what he does back there. I saw a few runs and made me double take. Like, who is this kid? Nice. So they got weapons, C-ball.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's see how these games play out. I mean, last year we thought the Lions. I certainly thought that the Lions had the explosive offense and all the firepower that looked foolproof, but you know, an offensive line Achilles heel proved to be a real problem. But you know, you look at the small sample size as to what you know, what Terry Williams offered last year. I mean, here's a guy, what, he averaged almost 9 yards a touch. Now
he'll do that again this year as the full time starter.
He only had 21 carries. So I mean, you know, it's a small sample size with that, but you know, here's a guy who certainly made people take notice anyway.
The way, you know, I just talked about him,
action that he saw.
The way I just talked about him, I made it sound like he's going to average 9 yards a carry the rest of this season as the full time starter. Did it? Might have gone a little overboard.
I'm going to check to see if there's a family relation there, maybe. But you know, a lot of those he had a big game in late September against Montreal where he had 156 yards on 16 of those carries.
Who do you think? Why do you think I think that? So, then who do you think is calling that game for TSM Montreal?
Yeah.
Why do you think?
That's right.
Yeah.
Former Al's great broadcaster, Davis Sanchez.
I watched it personally. Hamilton.
Yeah, but then again, you know what? Hey, and in fairness, like, hey, we were all raving 2 weeks ago about Ricky Lloyd, you know, with the 3-touchdown performance for the Lions in a preseason game, right? So here we are. Like, he did it for real. He did it in late September when things kind of tighten up and, you know, the weather starts getting cold and you start looking to the ground and pound more, and he delivered with some big numbers. So, you know, let's see what he can do. And hey, if he can make people in Calgary forget Jerome Messam, and maybe even John Cornish for that matter.
Now you're going overboard with the forget Cornish and Messam thing. I just said he's electric back. Let's not talk about forgetting anybody. Okay. Come on,
C-ball. Okay, all right. I'll give you the hall pass on that one. Okay, so that leads us to the doubleheader, the second leg of the doubleheader on the Saturday, and that's Montreal and BC. Montreal, Drew Willey. Drew Willey has been named the starter. And think about this: if you were told a year ago, hey, Darian Durant's going to no longer be with the Owls, and Drew Willey's going to be your starting quarterback in Montreal, I think a lot of people would have had you shaking your head, or you would have been going, what? Come on, give me a break. This would be a neat redemption story. This would be a really cool redemption story.
What you talking about, Willis?
Thank you. Exactly. What are you talking about, Odell Willis? Just a modernized, different strokes here in 2018. But look at, for a guy who's been kicked around and knocked around and has probably heard it enough to, it'd be nice to see a guy like Drew Willey get a win here. You know, and I say that not just like a win on the field, but I mean kind of a win in life, right? I mean, this is a guy who just, he's had his opportunities. It just hasn't clicked. And this one almost came by default. But nevertheless, here he is. And Chez, this is something you kind of saw in spring camp when, you kind of said, you know what, guy looks pretty good, and here he is still standing right now going into the Montreal and maybe carrying the hopes of a team that says, hey, you know what, we got a shot right now, just like every team does at the start of the season.
I mean, yeah, there's some good offensive minds, and Scott Milanovic being one of them, who at one point really liked Drew Willey. So I mean, they didn't like him for nothing. I mean, he wouldn't be in his league for this long if he didn't have some talent. So I keep saying it over and over again. He just got to be confident. And if I was his teammate, I was, even as a defender, I would do this. You know, I would talk to quarterbacks if I felt like younger guys, if I felt they needed to hear it, and I would really tell him. And this is, hopefully, he's able to do it. He's just got to let it fly. And he really, when he plays like that, he's confident. He just lets it fly. He could play. It's just, he looks tentative and nervous sometimes, and tentative, I think. And he just, I tell him, hey, you know what? Go out there, have fun, let it fly. And he's got, at this point, I really think they have nothing to lose offensively. I mean, I know that Mike Sherman, it's new, and so that, you know, they'll probably, you know, I'm saying, just come out and start drawing stuff up in the sand and be reckless. But I think that, you know, you have big play guys. You have Chris Williams, you have Ernest Jackson, BJ. I mean, you gotta take some shots. I'd be taking 2 shots a quarter down the field, deep balls. Let it fly. Give it to Suddy. The backfield, let it fly. And there was a, I don't know who came out. I think it was, might have been Nick Lewis. I think it was Nick Lewis who said it. But about Terrell Sutton not being in the TSN top 50, that is a mistake. I'll be honest, I don't think I had him in mind. And I think that was just a miss. I think I just missed. Because if I had a redo, Terrell Sutton would definitely be in my top 50. And I think people just missed him out in Montreal, and I think I missed him as well. So my bad, Sonny.
I think he's 51.
He deserves to be in the top 8 regardless.
I'm joking, but yeah, well, I mean, look at the three names at 48, 49, and 50 on that list. 50 is Brad Sinopoli, where if he's healthy, he's probably a little higher on that. Jeremiah Masoli, the guy who was credited for saving the Tabbies, and Simone Lawrence is in at 48. So yeah,
Terrell Sutton goes in front of all three of those guys. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no, I didn't say that.
Okay, so conversely, the Lions, Ed Hervey comes in, has tried to do as much extreme makeover as he can with this team and try to keep the core intact. And then conversely, it's Wally Buono's final season as a coach in the Canadian Football League. So they've got a little bit of the let's win one for Wally sort of motivation here. It's an improved O-line substantially with Figueroa and Olafoye now on the fold. Defensively up front, I think they definitely have a little more, the teeth are a little bit sharper now. And then you add to the mix with a linebacking core with Lacombo and Elamimian. Chez, I think it all comes down to Jonathan Jennings, and it sounds so cliche to talk about quarterback play, but isn't it really all about Double J this year?
I think a big part of it is what you said is it the offensive line. So, no, I think it all comes down to the offensive line at first, and that's another addition that is David Foucault, who, not an addition, but he's a guy who, I guess from all accounts, just looks like a whole different guy. He's put on, I think they said, 25 pounds of muscle. He's looking, he's stronger. He's playing more aggressively. Like he's realized. And another thing people forget about, because he was in the NFL for a couple years there, wasn't playing down there. He was on the PR guy and wasn't playing. So he's really a rookie to playing pro football. So I think another year under his belt and he realized what he needed. That's a big addition. A big step up from him elevating his game. And then because their offensive line was terrible last year. And then when you have Olafoye and Figueroa, now you really just need to find two other spots in there, those three interior spots, including Foucault's, to kind of battle for five guys battling for those three spots. You're going to get three good players out of who they have. They were Hunter Stewart as well. But I think those guys, the improvement there, and Ed said it from day one. He got there and Wally's talked about it, about wanting to build this team from the inside out. And the fact that, you're talking about it's all about JJ, and you're right. And just to dive a little deeper into that is that they've built this physical brand of football is what they want. And I think that if they have that, that will give JJ, who is ultimately the most important piece, the biggest chance to succeed. And so that's kind of a one note I'll take from that is at least last year he might not have had a chance. Two reasons. One, he was banged up and admittedly his shoulder wasn't right. And two, he wasn't getting protected.
Yeah, now he's got that protection, or at least it certainly seems to be that way based on what we saw in preseason with this team. Hey, you know what? A team we totally forgot that I kind of skipped over on this one as we were talking about through these matchups, but the Hamilton Ticats, who the Stamps are actually taking on the first leg of that Saturday matchup. The whole story, the whole narrative about Ticats through preseason has been Johnny Manziel. But the hardest team for me to read going into this year are the BC Lions. I think the Lions, the one thing I will say about the Lions is that BC could be, they have the potential to be this year's Toronto Argonauts. This is a team that has enough firepower and enough skill that if the other guys and the new personnel moves pay off, this is a team that could kind of, surprise people and shock them the way that Toronto could kind of sneak in. And, Toronto went on to going from being a disaster at the end of 2016 to being Grey Cup champions in 2017. I think the Lions, when you talk about teams having a chance, the Lions could be that team to shock everybody in 2018. When I look at Hamilton, that's the other team from an Eastern standpoint. They're like BC East. And I don't know what to believe in with the Ticats, where this was a team that was it was a dumpster fire in the first half of 2017. Then they were essentially like a team that nobody wanted to play against in the second half. You know, you kept a lot of your key free agents to be like Ted Laurent. You kept Larry Dean. There's a lot there defensively. You look at what you've got offensively here. But at the same time, it's the flux with the distraction that looms where, let's face it, everybody wants to talk about the guy who's not playing right now. And I just wonder how much of a distraction that does that be for a guy like Jeremiah Masoli, who, hey, look at the list. Look at the top 50, though, man. Like, he's listed as the 50th player in the league. And this was a guy that everybody, who was the one guy that was probably credited with really turning things around in Hamilton, by and large, when they finally started winning.
June Jones.
You know, Jeremiah, besides June Larry Jones, Dean. Yes, Art Briles. Art Briles. I'm kidding.
Richard
but
Leonard.
Jeremiah Masoli, here he is sitting 49th, right? And it's okay. And is, are we just waiting for this guy to get replaced at quarterback? Like, he had a great second half of the season. I've said it all. Like, I want to see Johnny Manziel play. I'm excited about the idea. I think it'd be cool for the league. But we, you know, without going through that the whole discussion again, that's the conversation in Hamilton. And I just wonder how much of that does that become a distraction sooner rather than later? I think it does.
I want to see you riding a bike. I want to see you riding a bike outside of the Hamilton Stadium with the. With a Manziel jersey, some flip-flops, and a banana hammock on.
And a banana hammock on. And a bell, like one of those old, like, sirens that had, you could, you know, you push the button and it has the police siren or the fireman, the fire department siren, or
I'll tell you
the, or the ambulance, like I had when I was a kid in the 80s, you know?
You make good points, and it's, you know, the Jeremiah situation is, I think when you asked if it's a distraction, I don't think it is. It might have been for the first couple of days. They guys have homed in. It's playoff time. It's time to play, and it's no one's worried about that right now. It's a background distraction, but it's not a distraction in your everyday preparation. It's a distraction maybe when you go home, when you open the paper, or when you're on social media. But it's not a distraction at practice, or it's not a distraction for guys who are preparing him. They're a team that's they've improved, I think, in regards to their all-around talent. That started last year. I don't mean in the offseason so much, but just from the beginning of last year to the end, they've just improved, and that's where I think it's most important. And I think you know, some situations like this, what's happened with the whole Johnny Circus, I think brings teams together. You know, the other guys, it kind of makes them closer together. And another note we didn't mention at all, as I think we'd be remiss to not mention, BC Lions, you know, talking about how they could be this year's Argos. Remember now, this is why I'm not willing to put them up there, and I also have a lot of skepticism, and rightfully so. There's going to be, you know, as many as seven new guys on defense, and in the Canadian mm-hmm. Football League, and I know, you know, Torrey Hunter, G. Roy, Neal, and of course Ed. Those guys can find talent, so I have no doubts that they're going to have talent on that team. I just think it might take a while for these guys to get used to the CFL, and they might be a year away. You very rarely find guys gelling together. They might have the talent, but that talent to work together and mesh together takes time. You just don't find, if they have six new starters on defense, it's going to be tough for those guys to be an upper echelon defense without having worked together and have the rep, communication, all the things that, know, encompass great CFL defenses. So I have a lot of trust in that group of guys, but it's going to take time in regards to personnel guys. It's going to take time for those players to gel. So that's the issue. One issue I have.
Yeah. And I, you know what, you're not wrong. And I think logic would tell you that. But I just think that if it all comes together, there's that sort of potential, that sort of home run potential, I think, for these things to come true with that. The last team to look at is a team that gets the week off to start. It's always a weird one, right? When everybody's excited to kick off the season, and you're opening up with a bye. And remember how the regular season ended. And remember the Ottawa Red Blacks It was the same thing for them. You know, you look at how it ended last year. Remember, people were not, they get all these buys. They're going to be too rested going into the playoffs. And they start week one not playing.
Why do they have a bye?
Ottawa. Well, because it's a 9-team league.
Yeah, but they should be just get a game. They could play the Calgary Colts, maybe the Saskatoon Hilltops.
The
Langley Rams. Why don't they just play one of those teams? It doesn't have to be, it should kind of be a win. Every team gets a win that week. It should be a bye. They should play one of the junior team.
And play a take on a junior, or maybe a CIS All-Star squad.
Another idea? Expansion. The CFL should look at expansion. Look at expansion and getting 10 teams in the league. Have they ever thought about that at all?
Make it happen. I like the idea.
I got all the fresh ideas.
And considering that the Lions on the West Coast kind of lack that natural rival in the league, wouldn't it be great to kind of do an East Coast West Coast thing? That was something that Commissioner Randy Ambrosi had suggested recently. So, I'd be down with that.
You know what they should
I'd
look?
Be totally
they
on
should
board.
Look at the Maritimes as a place to expand.
Great idea!
Yeah, I got it's all the ideas idea. This
like,
week,
you know
baby.
What? Maybe even Halifax, what? If you really wanted to really put a city with it specifically.
Hey, the season's starting. I'm in fine form, C-Ball. I got all the hot ideas.
Look at you. Not just a fountain of information. You're bringing all the heat this week. All right. Looking at Ottawa, I like a lot of these offseason moves that Ottawa did. And, I mean, when you look at the prognosticators, there were a lot of thumbs up in terms of what Marcel Desjardins did. And then Trevor Harris goes down in preseason. Now he's expected to be fine, but I guess what's fine for Trevor Harris? He's got a lot to prove this year in terms of what's at stake, but I think there was one thing if you're encouraged about, you look at what Deontay Spencer really kind of emerged as in the second half of that season. I'm really intrigued to see what this guy can do for an encore in 2018.
He is a dynamic guy. Yeah. Do it a lot of different ways. That's one thing I love with him. And then, I mean, the numbers that – the crazy thing that for me with the numbers that Sinopoli put up with the amount of, deep ball, I think he had 7 attempts over 20 yards throws to him, Sinopoli, last year, and he put up 1,000 yards. So the thing – what he does, what he works with underneath, and then, of course, Greg Ellison, the number one guy and a top guy in this league. They have three really good receivers, and there's obviously actually I like the addition too of Fioli Godinho over there as well. I like him as I've always liked him as a guy, as a national guy. So we'll see what comes. They have a good offensive line, and we'll talk about them more next week when we get into their first game.
All right, let's do this. Here we go. As week one set to kick off, not far from the time this is dropping onto your lap or into your ears, I should say. Let's go with a Grey Cup prediction. For me, Chez winning it, and we bring this up in June, and I think I had Jonathan Jennings as my MOP last year and the Lions winning the Grey Cup last year. So, I will probably get this wrong based on that, but I'm going Toronto-Edmonton in a Grey Cup final. And I say the West Side wins it in front of the home crowd at Commonwealth.
Today, if you ask me today, which you are asking me today, I'm going to go with East. I'm going Toronto, no doubt about it. And West, I'm going Calgary. The West, I think, is tight. Matt Nichols' injury is kind of taking Winnipeg down a notch until he gets back.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know about Edmonton and Sask. Sask is too much uncertainty, and I think Calgary's still just a little bit more talent right now. I don't know if they're a better team, but talent-wise, I think they're a little bit ahead right now. So I like Calgary and Toronto again.
All right. There we go.
I don't like them, but that's why I put there now.
That's what you're seeing. Okay, so there you go. There's our early June, mid-June predictions for your Grey Cup coming up in November. So we've got now the next 18 games for everybody across the CFL landscape to help kind of shape what our predictions will look like. That's Davis Sanchez. I'm James Cebulski. Here we go, everybody. This is what we've been hyping and talking about for the better part of the last 6 months since the season came to an end last year. Everybody's got a clean slate. Enjoy the 2018 season. We're back at it. Same bat time, same bat channel next week right here on the Wagon.